Welcome to Close Up Radio, where our hosts, Doug Llewellyn and Jim Masters, bring you the amazing stories of people who answered the call to unlock their potential and taken control of their own success with authenticity, creativity, persistence, and resilience. Close Up Radio special guests share their knowledge and wisdom so you, the listener, can live the most empowered life possible. Close Up Radio. And now, here's today's host, Jim Masters.
Thanks so much for joining us, everybody. A pleasure to have you with us today, 11 a.m. right now, Eastern Time, here at Close Up Radio, which is a service of the award-winning Close Up Television and Radio. It is Thursday, July 29th, 2021. Hope you're having a great day. And again, we thank you very much for joining us, whether you're listening live or will be listening to this in our Close Up Radio archives all around the world. We're continuing our exclusive part two conversation right now with executive coach Scott Brittingham. If you didn't hear part one, we encourage you to go back in our archives and dig in and listen to part one. And we welcome Scott back right now for part two. He's an executive coach and the founder of Brittingham Executive Consultants, where he helps executives become the true, authentic leader they want to be. As we mentioned, Scott spent 28 years as an HR generalist with two multinational companies, Unilever for 11 years, and most recently 17 years with L'Oreal USA. In 2019, Brittingham Executive Consultants really was developed to and dedicated to helping executives and their organizations balance business with the human side of things, which is so important. Scott leverages his strong business knowledge as well as his HR expertise to work with executives who have moved into the roles of significant responsibility and bigger scope, as well as leaders seeking to build their executive presence. Again, we welcome him back to continue our conversation and expand a little bit more on some of the previous conversation and also introduce some new topics of discussion on the show as well. First, join me in welcoming Scott Brittingham back to Close Up Radio for part two of our series together. Scott, welcome back to the program. It's a pleasure to have you with us today.
Jim, thank you so much. It's my pleasure to be here as well.
You're very, very welcome. You know, I'm fascinated with the guests and sort of their journeys and the inspirations, the aha moments that point them in the direction to doing the work that they do, the work that they love, the work that they share with others, which tends to lean empowering and inspiring in so many different ways. For you, Scott, what are some of those things in your own life's journey, those moments where you realized this was work that not only did you want to do, but you had to do because it's in your DNA. You really, truly enjoy helping people sort of reinvigorate that light within and allow it to shine. Tell us a little bit about some of that, those early moments for you in your journey.
That's a great question, Jim. I've had an amazing journey. I've had a lot of incredible experiences with amazing mentors and people that helped guide me and develop me, which I'm obviously very grateful for. I think there's a couple of things in my experiences that really led me to where I am today, and it's two things, really. One is I have an innate curiosity about what drives people, what motivates people, what inspires people, and when I went into the corporate world in an HR generalist role, I was obviously working with employees to help them develop and, you know, identifying talent and you know, growing and developing talent for the organization. And that was a real love of mine. I really enjoyed that. I really enjoyed getting to know, you know, what people's desires were and how I could work to help them develop and grow within their careers. And the second piece was the business acumen. I love business. I have a real hunger to learn about what makes businesses tick, what's underneath them, how to drive a business, you know, putting together that human side of, you know, leading teams and developing people and understanding what the business goals are and how do they marry together to really drive a business and help a business achieve its success. So when I was, the last 7 years I was at L'Oreal, I was the head of HR for the professional products division, which is the salon world, which was an amazing experience. The individuals that I worked with were incredibly creative and super talented and obviously very, very smart. And it was, I had a responsibility for about 4,500 employees. And while I loved the job of being able to grow and develop a team and really work with my direct reports and my teams to really help them grow and develop, I was getting further and further away from what I truly love, which is working one-on-one with people. And it just happens because of, as you get higher in the corporate ladder, you're involved with more of the strategic stuff that's going on. And I found that I really missed that. And I knew that I wanted to have what I called an Act 3, which was to start my own business. And in 2016, L'Oreal put all the HR leads through executive coaching training to help them look at the development of people through a coach's eye, which is a very, very different skill set than what we do as executives every day. And what was interesting was the light went on. I was like, this is an amazing way to marry the two things that I love, which is working with and developing people and helping them achieve, you know, a business goal based on the work that we do together and the growth that they achieve. So that's how it happened. I retired from L'Oreal in 2017. I took 2018 off to just kind of recharge and re-energize. And I launched the business in 2019, and it's been an amazing journey. I've had a ball, and I really, really love what I do, and I'm really, really passionate. So it's a marriage on both fronts.
Boy, you can really tell just in the way you so effortlessly described your journey and responded to that question. It's evident that you're all in, and you're all in for your clients, and you're gaining as they're gaining, which is a symbiotic, full circle situation, which is the best type of scenario you could have. You know, we've been talking a little bit on the show previously about executive coaching and corporate. A lot of times I would imagine that people, when they hear executive and they hear corporate, they're thinking it's all the same thing. Tell us a little bit about the differences between those and also the differences between executive coaching and team coaching.
Sure. Yeah, I mean, the interesting thing is that as an executive, you know, at least my experience was, you know, I was there to solve problems. I was there to, you know, in some cases put out fires, you know, to move the business forward. As an executive coach, it's a very, very different skill set. And basically, the role of a coach is not to solve the problems, is not to provide the answers or the solutions, is to create the space for the client so that they have the ability to come to the solutions on their own. That by the questions that you ask, by the safe space that you create as an executive coach, it allows the individual to step back and reflect. And quite frankly, in this world today, as fast-paced as it is, with 24/7, you know, always connected, always on, you know, it's very, very challenging for not just executives but anybody, quite frankly, to step back and just, you know, push pause and, you know, reflect and take a look at what really is important. What are the things that I really want to be doing? What are the things that really drive me and motivate me? And that's what the executive coaching experience is. A big part of it is that, is creating that space for the client to really step back, to really look at where they are in their journey. Obviously, we set very clear goals and objectives and things like that. But as it relates to the process piece of it, that's a big component. And that's what's so different for me anyway, as an executive working in corporate versus becoming a coach. It's just a completely different skill set altogether. And in terms of one-on-one coaches versus team coaching, obviously, you know, just by virtue of the name, it's a very different experience. One-on-one coaching is clearly working one-on-one with an individual on what their issues or challenges or goals or things that they want to work on. Working with a team dynamic takes, a whole other army of skills, because you have to be very in tune with what's happening, the energy in the room, what's going on with the individuals as you go through this journey, alignment with the leader, establishing that credibility with the team that it's, you know, you are there to support the team, not in alliance with the leader, whoever has hired you. So it's quite complex. It's obviously very powerful as organizations become more matrixed. And, you know, I had a number of bosses when I was working in corporate, and I don't think that's going to change as things move forward. And I think that team coaching can be a powerful tool in an organization's arsenal to really help teams get clarity around mission and purpose, establishing, you know, the dynamics of how they want to work, not just within the team, but including their stakeholders, because that's a lot of where I see opportunities for teams, because they're so focused on what they're doing and how they're moving this thing forward that they forget who they're doing it for, and not just their customers. The employees, the individuals that obviously are, you know, at the senior level, either the board or the, you know, the financial arm of the business, but then also the generations behind us. You know, what are we doing as an organization that is going to set us up for, you know, the future of what our generations are going to be looking for as we continue to grow? So there's so many facets to it, and that's also what's interesting to me, because there's so many dynamics and so many dimensions to it that just make it really, really fascinating.
That sounds really exciting. You know, you've got this acting experience, too, for those joining us today that might not realize that, and it's that's fascinating. Well, how do you feel that benefits the situation, the experience in acting, as far as influencing your understanding not only of collaboration but of the human condition as well?
It's an amazing insight, actually. I think what really drove me drew me to acting initially when I was very, very young was, you know, that, again, that innate, you know, sort of curiosity of what makes people tick and, you know, the different experiences that shape people's lives and where they are and where they come from. And I think today, you know, when you look at what's happening socially within our country, within the world, you know, being able to walk in someone else's shoes, to understand what somebody else may have experienced, and to lead with empathy when you're dealing not just obviously in corporate but with teams or whatever, but even in your personal life. You know, we all have different – we come from different places. We come from different backgrounds. And having that awareness and understanding of trying to, you know, understand behind it, I think is really powerful, and that's one of the things that certainly my acting training brought, you know, to me as I grew and evolved in the corporate world. And the other part was to be a really good actor, and I'm not saying I was a good actor, I tried, but I did make my living for 3 years, so I think I did something right. But
for an actor,
you have
that
to be
is
a good listener.
Quite a stretch.
hey, listen, I lived my dream, and I don't know a whole lot of people that could say that they've done that, so I feel like that's a real badge for me. But, you know, to be a good actor, you have to be an expert listener. In order to be in the scene and in the moment, you have to be connected to your partner, whoever you're in the scene with. And that is the key strength of an executive coach. You have to be so present in the moment with your client and really listening for the nuances and the subtext and what's not being said to really start to uncover some of the real gems of what the conversation can lead to. So there's a lot of parallels between, you know, that career and what I'm doing now, which I think is pretty interesting.
That's fantastic. We wanted to share also a little bit more on some examples of what sessions in the coaching looks like. If there's somebody listening and they want to make contact with you and they want to avail themselves of the opportunity to have your expertise come into play for them, do you do one-on-one? Is it team, group primarily? What is it like as far as the sessions? And I would imagine probably right off the bat you do an initial assessment of the situation. What are their goals, hopes, dreams, fears? Where do they want to take themselves? The various dynamics of the personalities that are involved as well. There's a lot that comes into the mix right out of the gate, right?
Absolutely. I think the key thing initially and through the engagement is that connection and that, you know, relationship that the coach and the client have. So first and foremost, we call it a chemistry check meeting. And, you know, that's because typically – all of my clients have been within the corporate sector. So an organization will contact me and say, hey, we have an executive that we'd like. If you have the bandwidth to take on this client, we'd love for you to meet with them and see if it's, if there's a connection and a fit, and we can, you know, bring you on for the engagement. So I'll meet with the individual, and, you know, again, it's, they have to, it's kind of like dating. You know, they have to feel the vibe, and you have to feel the vibe as the coach, and think that you can obviously, you know, support and help them. And once that's established and they've selected me as the coach, the first question that I ask virtually every client I have is, what is their leadership legacy? What is it that they want to leave behind when they're off living their best life, you know, retired and doing whatever it is they want to do post-work life? What do they want to leave behind? What do they want to have those that work with them, that were peers, were, you know, on their teams, you know, managers? What do they want? What do you want them to say about you as a leader? Because when you define that, and again, it goes back to what I was saying earlier about stepping back and reflecting and really taking that time to really look at where you want to be, when you really define what you want your legacy to be as a leader, that becomes your North Star. That becomes what you aspire to as you live your day-to-day. So for me, it's a great framing sort of foundation for the beginning of the engagement, because it helps them get clarity around who they want to be as a leader. What does that look like? How do they show up? And know that when they are in the moment, is this lining up under the legacy that I've created for myself? So that's number one. The second part is really to create our goals and objectives for the engagement. And that's very important to me, because I want to make sure we can measure success, not only for the client, which is the most important, but obviously for the company that's bringing me on board, and for me too. It's that combination between, you know, setting these goals for what you want the engagement to be, creating what those metrics are going to look like, and then having a meeting with their boss and the HR representative, and of course myself and the client, to align on those goals and objectives, and to, you know, make sure that everybody's on the same page. This is what we're going to be working towards. This is how it's going to flow. And as part of that experience, I typically will do a 360 feedback session, where the client will give me the names of their certainly their team members, their boss, peers that they work with. And it really is to establish what are their strengths and what are their areas for development as a leader. And what that does is it gives them a context and a frame of what is the perception of what they're giving out there in the workplace as a leader, and where might there be opportunities. There's many times where leaders will say to me, I've heard that a million times, I guess it's time for me to work on it. And there's other times where things are surfaced that they had never thought of. And it's very interesting, because, you know, it allows them, again, a different point of insight and a different reflection to be able to step back and kind of look at something from a different lens. The other piece that I think is important about the 360 is, and I think there's a real opportunity in corporate America for leaders in this context, is when you ask people to give feedback about you as a leader, I encourage every one of my clients to bring them into the conversation, meaning when they set their goals and objectives for the coaching session, bring them into that, because they took the time to participate in the 360. Let them know what your goals and objectives are so they can help you along this journey, you know, to say, hey, I really saw you exhibiting that strength. That's amazing. Keep that up. Or you missed an opportunity here, and you might want to think about that in, you know, a future conversation. And there's a vulnerability to doing that, but what that does for a leader is it humanizes them with the people around them. And my experience has been, when you lead with the heart and you lead with, you know, empathy, when you deal with people on a human level, they will walk through fire for you. They really, and to allow yourself to say, hey, I don't know everything. You know, there is opportunity for me to get better. I mean, everybody says that, but leaders typically, you know, I hate to say it, but they frame themselves to think they should know everything. And that's just not the case. And when you come down and go, hey, I don't know everything, I need people around me that are going to help me, that allows the experience to, I think, be really, really rich. And then 3 months in, because it's usually a six-month engagement, 3 months in, we do a pulse check on with the boss and with the HR rep and the client and myself on how we're doing. Are we tracking? Are we, you know, on schedule for achieving what we want to do at the end of the 6 months? And in the second half of the engagement, We continue working together, but I turn a different focus on self-coaching. I want the client to start to look at their own experiences through the coach's eye, like stepping back and reflecting more and thinking about things in a different way, coming to the sessions that we have together with issues that they're facing and solutions on how they want to achieve them deal with them. So it allows them a bit more confidence when this engagement ends that, my coach isn't here anymore, and now I'm back to square one. Let's train them to get the skills so that they can continue that once I'm out of the picture, and they can continue to grow and develop. And we do the final session at the end of the six-month engagement, and again, it's talking with their boss and the HR rep, myself, and the client. And it's, again, a recap on how we've done against the goals and objectives. And more importantly, what support does the client need from their manager and from the HR person to continue this growth and development? What are the focus areas they want to keep on spotlight so that, they don't lose sight of this investment that they've made and the time that they've put in? So that's pretty much the process that works. And I have to tell you, the feedback has been really powerful. I mean, there's some great testimonials that clients have given that are on my website that, it means the world to me because, again, it's what I love to do and to get that validation that, the impact that I'm having is a positive one is clearly a very beneficial sign. So
that's fantastic. How about maybe a couple of success stories where you were able to take, a company or individuals to a certain point? Maybe they were at level A and maybe they hit a roadblock, they were struggling, frustrated, what have you. Things were getting a little discombobulated and you were able to customize sort of a program, a plan of action for them because, you have your certain strategies and skills and ways that you, informatics, but you individualize and customize what you do for the scenario, the company, the people involved, which I think is terrific. Maybe share a couple of those testimonial success stories, case studies, where you've been able to help people realize great success as a result of their interaction with you.
Sure. One comes to mind. I mean, there's several, actually. One comes to mind because it's pretty fresh, but, it was an individual that I was working with had gone into a new role, a large role, actually, and needed help and support on, integrating into this role with much greater responsibility and a much bigger team. And the plan that we put together was really about elevating the executive presence and really very, very smart, clearly individual, but wanted to really get out of their own way about how to express themselves in those executive meetings with conviction and also with, authority, as well as developing and guiding the team. And what we found was, through clarity and really being very direct and clear about what they wanted from the business and from the team and the individuals, it really helped shape, their growth as they continued to move forward. In fact, so much so that by the end of the six-month engagement, she was promoted to run the business, and they've asked me to stay on for another 6 months to continue to work with her on that behalf. So, for me, that's a real testament to the power of when you set a real clear plan, with goals and objectives, with metrics on what you want to achieve and how that's going to impact the business. And that one is a clear one for me. But there's many. I think so. What's so important for the client is they do the heavy lifting, and I say that to every potential client that I meet. Our job as a coach is really not to do the work. It's they do the work. And if they're willing, which 99% of my clients have been willing to do that, and that's when they see the results. That's when they see, the fruits of their labor, if you will. So, but it is. It's not easy. I mean, it's you strip down and you really push into places that, quite frankly, you normally willingly wouldn't go. And that's where the real gems lie, and that's where the progress happens. So,
that's terrific. You have another story you want to share maybe with our audience?
I'm trying to, there's There's one, I've worked with a couple of expats, which is a whole nother challenge because not only are they, you know, facing whatever typical business challenge they face, but they also have a cultural element to it. And I think that, again, you know, being able to humanize it in a way that we're all in this situation in the same sort of light. You know, it's not whether you're from another country or you're from another part of the world. You know, the issues and struggles and challenges we face are virtually the same. And I think that was very insightful to kind of help them sort of clear the decks of getting out of the way of that cultural challenge that they may have faced, and into, you know, what's the issue at hand and how do I leverage what I need to do to really move things forward. So, you know, that presented a very unique and interesting challenge for me too, because I thought it was very interesting to learn more about, you know, again, what drives people, because their experiences are clearly very different than what I would have experienced living and growing up here in the U.S.
Yeah, I would imagine. Absolutely. What are some of the things about this work that you do that really speak to you, Scott? Obviously, you know, all the different experiences, all the different scenarios are unique and they're different. And with that, the benefits of having a coach. Some people may say, oh, you know, we can manage on our own or we can figure this out on our own. But even coaches are coached. Some of the best coaches in the world, as you know yourself as one of them, are coached. Some of the benefits, for anybody that's listening that's sort of on the fence about do we really need a coach or not, what would you say from your experience are some of the benefits of bringing somebody into the picture like you, Scott?
I think one of the clear benefits is having somebody from the outside whose vested interest is really only in the client and the client's growth and their development. I think for any organization, particularly now, and listen, if COVID's taught us many things, but one of the things clearly is that the ability to pivot and the ability to adapt to change in a nanosecond is critical. And, you know, what I have seen in, you know, my experience in corporate, both as well as an executive coach, is organizations are challenged in developing leaders in a very fast, rapidly changing marketplace. And an executive coach can, again, allow that space for somebody at a very senior level who has a lot on the line to really be able to step out of that sort of zone and really get clarity around who they want to be, what they want to, how they want to show up, what type of leader do they want to inspire their teams to be. And that's powerful. It is, because otherwise you're just on a treadmill and you're just running. And, you know, where I have seen the success truly is those people that step back and really take that moment and they build that into the way they work. You know, one of the things that has come up from 360s is, you know, what I bucket them into themes. And one theme that is universal across all the 360s that I do is an opportunity to pause and reflect, you know, step back in the moment. You don't have to answer off the cuff. Just because you're the one in charge doesn't mean you know everything. You know, take the moment. Hold tight. Let me get back. Let me think about it. Let me just ponder this. You know what I mean? And that's part of where I think allowing that space is really key.
That's perfect. That's fantastic. If folks want to make contact, BrittinghamConsultants.com is the best place to kick off. It's a great website, and there's a lot of great resources there. Now, it's a good place to explore for the folks that are listening right now, Scott?
Absolutely. Yep.
Before we wrap, what would be one thing that you would want to say maybe to encourage somebody who is, you know, struggling right now? Obviously, we've got about a minute left, but maybe just a quick statement as far as, you know, we're going through unprecedented times and people are looking at their careers and some are shifting jobs, some are moving on to other work that speaks to them. There's been a lot of that talk, the fundamental shift as a result of the pandemic. Any thoughts on that?
Hey, listen, I think that, you know, everybody's dealing with it differently. Everyone's dealing with it uniquely. As leaders, we have to be sympathetic and empathetic with what our teams are going through. I think to individuals, you know, this is the time to have courage. It's the time to take a risk. You know, as Wayne Gretzky said, you miss 100% of the shots you never take. So, you know, it's important to, you know, to have the courage to really step out and be bold about what you want and go for it.
Perfectly said, Scott. Perfectly said. I encourage folks to go to the website, brittinghamconsulting.com. That's BRITTINGHAM, consultants.com. Scott, thanks for joining us on the show. This was fantastic. Appreciate it. Hope we get a chance to chat some more.
That'd be awesome, Jim. It was a great pleasure. Thank you so much for the time.
You're very welcome. Keep up the amazing work. I know you thoroughly love it, and it speaks to the essence of who you are, Scott. So kudos to you for wanting to encourage people to sort of find their bliss through their work, and I'm sure we'll chat again soon here on Close Up Radio. Enjoy the rest of your day, and everybody listening, again, Scott's the real deal. I encourage you to make contact. Go to the website, brittinghamconsultants.com. He works with clients, you know, literally all over the country and beyond. So check out the website. I think you'll be pleasantly surprised. This is your host, Jim Masters, thanking you for your time this time. Till next time, stay tuned. I'll be back momentarily with another amazing guest right here on Close Up Radio. Till then, for all of us, have a terrific day. Thanks for being with us, and bye for now.
You have been listening to a broadcast from Close Up Radio, a division of Close Up Television Incorporated. For more information about our show and to be considered for future broadcasts, please visit closeuptelevision.com. You may also learn about us on social media and listen to us on podcast and internet radio. Thank you for joining us, and we hope that you have an empowered and productive day.